Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday afternoon, we're going to do a little sermon review. And in keeping with the subject and keeping with the story of the times, of course, the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade brought many people to Washington, D.C. for that March for Life. And one of them was the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri, Synod Pastor Matt Harrison. He had the opportunity before that March for Life and before the commemoration of that anniversary to preach a sermon. Now, we often talk about, when we do our sermon reviews here, the kind of the regular Sunday-by-Sunday fare of preaching. And then there's what I was taught in the seminary to call occasional preaching. And that's like a wedding service. A funeral service, in some way, is also an occasion. Preaching at a special event. In this case, it would be the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and the gathering of pro-life people in the nation's capital to commemorate that and to march for the protection of the unborn. That's an occasion. And there's a place for occasional preaching. The danger of occasional preaching is that it becomes about the occasion and not about Jesus. And that's why the sermon diagnostic that we use for our sermon reviews here on Issues Etc. is especially important for the review of all sermons, but especially these occasional ones, where the temptation of the preacher might be to kind of get caught up in the occasion and forget the point of preaching. What is the point of preaching? Jesus says that the point of preaching is repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. He tells his disciples at the end of Luke's gospel that this is what is going to happen, and this is what he wills to happen, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. And that means whenever, on whatever occasion, be it a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, be you in Washington, D.C., or at your home congregation, every time a pastor steps into the pulpit, it is always an occasion for preaching Christ and him crucified for sinners. That is the center of the Christian message. Paul is adamant about this. He goes from town to town, place to place in the Roman Empire, and he says to the Corinthians, "I was determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified." And it wasn't just the Corinthians, it was also the Galatians. He told the Galatians, "Far be it from me to glory in anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ." So, the crucified Christ for sinners is always the subject for every occasion. That's why we have our sermon review. The first part is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a running tally as you listen to the preacher preach how often you hear Jesus mentioned. Explicit mentions of Jesus, not some generic deity. If he is mentioned often, then you can go on to part two, and that is Jesus the subject of the verbs? It's one thing to preach with Jesus as the object of the verbs. You're doing all the doing, and Jesus is kind of the recipient of your love, your devotion, your works. When in fact, what you find in Christ-centered cross-focus preaching is Jesus is the subject of the verbs. He is the one that is doing all the action. He is the one running the verbs. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And then, if he is, go on to part three of the diagnostic, and that is, what are the verbs? This is where you get specific. This is where you go beyond the grammar and say, what is it the preacher is telling me that Jesus has done? Is this Jesus' moral example? Is this Jesus' inspirational figure from history? Is this Jesus' life coach? Or are these the verbs of Holy Scripture, the Jesus who comes in human flesh, who humbles himself, who is perfectly obedient to the Father for you, who suffers for you, who dies for you, who rises again, who is your Savior from beginning to end. With the diagnostic in hand, let's review this sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, at a pre-March for Life service.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. We are a people of joy over life. In October 1939, Hitler signed a brief directive empowering his personal physician and another henchman the power to, quote, extending to specified doctors that those who, according to human judgment, are incurably ill may be granted, after a critical examination of the state of their health, a mercy death. And families began to complain that their loved ones who were in institutions, developmentally disabled, mentally disabled, in institutions were dying, or they're being notified of deaths without having any previous notification that these people were even ill. Because of the protests of these people, the Nazis began moving these folks to state institutions where this could be done more easily. The SS began transplanting them and taking them before they were euthanized, that is, murdered. And a few courageous churchmen, however, spoke up. Friedrich von Boroschwing was the leader of the Bethel Institute, which housed the developmentally disabled. And he would quickly find homes for Jewish children who needed to be protected from the Nazis and protection from this rash of murder. And von Boroschwing was a good friend of Hermann Zasse, our great friend of the Missouri Synod, the very Zasse who spoke up. He was the first churchman to publicly speak up against the Nazi Aryan paragraph. And he said, the Lutheran doctrine of original sin damns the purest Aryan person no less than the worst gypsy or half-caste. What a courageous thing. It's hard to believe he managed to make it through those years. Roman Catholic Bishop Clemens, August Graf von Galen, preached publicly denouncing the murders which were now being extended to the aged infirm. He said, "Do you or I have the right to live only as long as we are productive? Then someone has only to order a secret decree that the measures tried out on the mentally ill be extended to the other non-productive people. That it can be used on those incurably ill with lung disease, on those weakened by aging, on those disabled at work, on severely wounded soldiers. Then not a one of us is sure anymore of his life. Woe to humanity. Woe to our German people when the sacred commandment, thou shalt not kill, is not only violated, but when this violation is tolerated and carried out without permission." Von Boroschwing was elected the Reichsbishop, the head of the entire kind of forced union of German Protestant churches, only to be forced out by Hitler and replaced by Reichsbishop Müller, who shot himself in the head about the time Hitler did. The British dropped leaflets of Galen's sermon over the towns and villages. Hitler's murderous secret was secret no more. Under public pressure, 21 days after the bishop's sermon, the madmen ordered the carnage to cease. The records show that 70,273 patients had been murdered, though the actual count was probably much higher. Lutheran pastor Ernst Wilm, a former vicar of von Boroschwing at Bethel, had also dared to protest publicly. He rejoiced that the killing had apparently ended, and he thanked God for it in a New Year's Eve sermon. But the rumors continued, and so did the killings. Later he recounted, "I was arrested on January 23, 1942, and interrogated, basically, only because of this story about the killings of patients. They asked me about little things like why I didn't say Heil Hitler when I began my confirmation class. It was ludicrous. And they said, 'You're stabbing the army in the back with such stories.' I replied, 'You're stabbing the army in the back when you murder children and sick people behind the backs of men and fathers who are out there fighting.' I came to the police prison in Bielefeld and sat there until May. Then came the command signed by Heydrich, and with that I came to Dachau and served my time there." And in this death camp, he had marked on his arm the tattoo, "Prisoner number 30,156. It's It's amazing he survived. The Nazis called the weak and the needy lives unworthy of life. The secret for us, my friends, in this dark day of living a good news life in a bad news world is knowing that every human being is created in God's own image and is therefore valuable. The secret to a joyous and meaningful life is the realization that because Jesus himself took on human flesh from conception, and because Jesus valued every human life, especially those worthless in the eyes of the world, each and every human life is temporally and eternally precious, no matter how young, how old, or how imperfect. The secret to a joyous life worth living is acting on behalf of those who cannot act for themselves. Joy over life jumps off, leaps out of every page of the Bible. It verily bubbles out of Jesus' lips. There are pervasive texts like Genesis 1, the image of God, Exodus 21, where specific provision is made for punishment for those who kill a life in the womb. An ethic of the inherent value of every human life conceived, no matter what its form or malformity. Simply put, for Jesus, there is no life unworthy of living. In fact, the Christ turns the human value system completely on its head, to the great joy of the least.
We'll take a break here. When we come back, we'll hear more of this sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Washington, D.C., at a pre-March for Life service. He's talking, doing a little history, a little obvious comparison there, and talking about our system of valuing human life, how different, how distorted it is from that of our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll have more of the sermon on the other side of the break.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, Etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January here in the waning days is a great little book. I often recommend our books. This one is, I recommend it for several reasons. It is eminently practical. It is eminently important as a work from 16th century reformer Martin Luther. It's called A Simple Way to Pray. It's translated by the man that we're listening to in our sermon review here, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A Simple Way to Pray is one of the most insightful, most practical books that Luther ever wrote. And he wrote a great number of them. It's a little pamphlet. It's very affordable from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's called A Simple Way to Pray by Dr. Martin Luther, translated by Pastor Matt Harrison. The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January. Let's get back to the sermon. He has brought us with some pretty heavy blows of the law to our completely upside-down system of human value, and he's going to talk to us about how it is that Jesus values human life.
And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped. Eskiptazen. It's our same word in English. The baby skipped for joy in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of you, your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Eskiptazen en agaliase. Leap for joy. What a remarkable transaction. John the Baptizer skips for joy in vitro over the greeting of the mother of my Lord. Two unborns, the Lord himself and his great forerunner, are each acknowledged as such in the womb. The word used by Luke more than any other New Testament writer expresses what is an outburst of joy. In fact, Luke is the evangelist of joy, and he's actually the evangelist of joy over life. Allow me to pass through Luke's gospel briefly this morning with this lens, the preferential option for the least, the last, the unloved, and Jesus' joy over life. A peasant, Elizabeth, rejoiced over the unborn Lord, Luke 1:42. The unlikely mother of the Lord, Mary, sang her Magnificat, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has exalted those of humble estate," Luke 1:46. Elizabeth's friends and family rejoiced with her over her newborn, Luke 1:58. Zechariah's tongue was loosed and praised after the mute wrote, "His name is John. He spoke, blessing God, for he has visited and redeemed his people," Luke 1:63. Praise and blessings are the sounds that joy makes. At the birth of Christ, the angel announced to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people," Luke 2. The whole heavenly host rejoiced over the one who came to bring peace between God and man, Luke 2:14. Feeble old man Simeon beheld his very life in his own arms, in the flesh, and rejoiced, "Mine eyes have seen your salvation. Let your servant depart in peace," Luke 2:29. You see, peace is joy at rest. Jesus, a quiet man, a carpenter from Nazareth, suddenly came preaching a message of joy, particularly for the outcast, the weary, the lame, the lives unworthy of life. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," Luke 4:18. He immediately set upon his path, caring for the sick and the needy, Simon's mother-in-law, Luke 4:38, the sick and diseased, Luke 4:40, the paralytic, Luke 5:25, the lepers, Luke 5:12. Then Jesus began inviting the dregs of society to be his friends, like Levi, the tax collector, Luke 5:27. And he still invites the dregs like you, even you in the back. I asked them before this sermon if I could mention a few of their sins up here publicly, but nobody was forthcoming. Luke tells us that Jesus feasted and rejoiced with them all, and thereby honored life as a gift. Luke 5:34. Jesus, the very ambassador of life, taught that any and every life, any law which compromised and threatened life, had to fall. I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to harm, to save life or destroy it? Luke 6:9. He made the ambassadors of death furious over his joy for life and for the least. Luke 6. The multitudes came to him, the diseased, the unclean, the diseased with unclean spirits, and he healed them. Life so pulsated in and pervaded his life that when they merely touched him, he healed them all. Luke 6:19. Has there ever been such respect for life? He expressed his gratitude of joy over the oppressed, the least, the worst, the hungry, the sad, the sinner, in beatitude after beatitude. Be merciful to all, even enemies. Luke 6:31. Christ is the God incarnate, joy in the flesh, life sent to redeem life. His joy for life over life tells us who our God is. Be merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Luke 6:36. The centurion's daughter, Luke 7:8. The widow's son, 7:12. The blind, the lame, the lepers, the deaf, the poor, all were healed and heard the gospel again and again. Luke 7:21. The least are the greatest in the kingdom. Luke 7:46. Jesus ate and drank and enjoyed time with his band of misfits, tax collectors and sinners, and even prostitutes. The good soil is, according to Jesus, the refuse of the world, the despised of the world. The good news knows no genetic preference, Luke 8:9 and following. The Gerasene, after so much pain and suffering, joyless and dead while he lived in the cemetery, dragging his chains, was put at rest, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, Luke 8:35. The poor woman whose livelihood had been exhausted by hemorrhage was healed, finally healed in both body and soul after 12 joyless years, Luke 8:41. Jairus' daughter was raised from death to life, Luke 8:54. Jesus preached that he would be killed, but on the third day raised, Luke 9:22. Because he would pass from death to life, he invited his followers on the path to joy, to deny themselves, and to follow him. Whoever loses his life for my sake will gain it, Luke 9:23. And how did Jesus lose his life? By spending it for others, by sharing the burdens, the sufferings, the joys, the sorrows of the despised. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you is the one who is great. Luke 9:48. Jesus was exuberant with joy along with the returning 72, Luke 10, over the good news preached and the needy healed. He rejoiced exuberantly in the Holy Spirit, joyfully confessed it a marvel that such things had been revealed to little children, but not the wise, Luke 10. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught that life is precious no matter whose life it is, Luke 10:35. Disabled individuals murdered by the Nazis. Add 6 million to that. 6,074,273. And then think today of 53 million. 53 million. I must say there is little joy to be had on a day like today over that news. But my friends, we like Jesus are people of joy over life. We don't go at this problem because we are against sex, because we're prudes, because we're antiquated. We are in this struggle because of joy. Roman law said, foetus pars viscerum matris, the fetus is part of the body of the mother, and therefore she could act accordingly. The New Testament came with a different message, in fact, specifically in Galatians, saying that pharmakeia was forbidden, which was the mixing of potions, often called sorcery, which was actually making abortifacients. The Didache came right away, first century, 120 or so, and condemned abortion. The church condemned infanticide. Why? Because we are people of life. Let the little children come. What shall we do? We shall pray. We'll pray at the tomb of this nation's moral sense until it rises again. We shall pray and weep until it rises again. We shall work. Life is holy and sacred. It's beautiful like this wonderful vestment. And nevertheless, it requires walking shoes to get into the mud. And we will love. We will have mercy. We'll have children. And we will fight and struggle as long as this struggle is before us. And the Lord Christ will bless. Count on his blessings. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's a sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at a pre-March for Life service. When we come back in hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the purification of Mary and the presentation of Jesus. Both of those accounts are found there in Luke chapter 2. In fact, Pastor Harrison laid the table for us very nicely. Dr. Peter Scheer will be our guest, and then we'll get some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line also in hour two on this Monday afternoon, January the 28th. Jesus came to bring life, to give it freely. He gives life by spending his life for the entire world, for everyone, for those born and unborn. He gives his life on the cross so that all of us condemned under our own sin, every last one of us, might have forgiveness in his name. When we come back, we'll be talking about the purification of Mary. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran schools offer so much: strong values for life,
a balance of academics and spiritual development,
theologically trained teachers,
and learning God's love every day.
There are plenty of reasons to celebrate our Lutheran schools. Here at Concordia Publishing House, we believe that Lutheran schools are the future of our church. Year after year, Lutheran teachers build lifelong Christians for service, so join us as we celebrate National Lutheran Schools Week. Every day from January 27th to February 3rd, CPH will offer a new discount on teaching resources. That's 5 days of savings on gifts, books, and toys perfect for Lutheran classrooms. So visit cph.org to take advantage of these special offers to support your mission. We love our Lutheran schools and pray that you have a blessed National Lutheran Schools Week.